Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, and it's late night again!
Yeah.
We are turning into night owls, and of course, the world's greatest dad is sitting over there. What's up, man?
Not much, man. You're going to hear it in the background. I've got a glass of bourbon with me tonight, so just be prepared for that. Before we turned on the mics, I mentioned to Jamie that it was just a particularly hard night getting the little girl to go to sleep. So I am on call, and so if it just randomly stops for a while, that's because I need to go take care of stuff. So hopefully that doesn't happen. But yeah, little girl was not having it tonight.
Well, I'm extraordinarily jealous of the bourbon. I do not have bourbon. The show is much better when we have bourbon.
I agree.
I'll just put it to you that way. So yeah, I'm slightly jealous, but I'm going to muddle through because we have so much to talk about.
We have so much to talk about. Just a quick rundown of what we're going to get into because we're going to have to get into it quickly. We've got PlayStation 5 price point now and release date, and so obviously that's big news. No surprises there, which is the good news about it. It was super predictable, which is good. And then a huge surprise from Xbox of them acquiring a pretty massive library of games and a publisher and all that fun stuff, and so we'll get into all of that. Details around these pre-order debacles that we've had with both of these consoles so far, some Cyberpunk news. There's an update about Beyond Good and Evil in the show notes. I don't even know if we'll get to that. So gaminguncensored.com to check out the show notes. But yeah, there's that tons and tons, like all the gaming news happened since last we did a show.
And also somewhere in there, we will talk about the fact that I have done yet another flip-flop and I'm going to eat a crap ton of crow. So you know how we do that. You know how that works.
Absolutely.
So we will get to that in a second, but first we got to say thank you to the Patreon guys.
Absolutely.
Give me that list.
Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, and Sam. Thank you guys a ton, as always. We appreciate your support so much. Go by gaminguncensored.com and click that Become a Patron link if you want to support us there as well, because we need money, because there's a lot of things that cost money that are right around the corner.
Yeah,
I have to mention, too, I was going to run this by you before we turned on the mics, but didn't, so alas, here we are. We need to do a round table as well, and so we'll be looking at a roundtable hopefully later this week if we can coordinate schedules on that.
Yes, absolutely. That will be done because we need those people's money.
And we have a lot to talk about at this point.
Yeah.
So we need to get some opinions in here for sure.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited about what we've got in the news this week. And like I said, I have changed my mind several times on several different things. So off we go, sir.
But before we jump into the news, because I don't know if we're going to get another chance to do this, I know we've both been playing a little bit of games. And so I want to take it just a few minutes here at the top to talk about games just a bit, because it's one of those rare weeks where we both have a little bit to talk about. So I'll mention mine first and then let you talk about yours, and then we'll jump into all the fun news. I have taken a break from finishing The Last of Us, which I desperately need to do. And so that's coming hopefully in the next couple of weeks of just getting through the rest of that. But in part of my taking a break, I needed something mindless. And so I picked up the Tony Hawk 1 and 2. It is fabulous. I love it so much. I've talked about this on the show before, I think. I was just a huge fan of the original Tony Hawk games. Those were super fun. And the originals came out like 20-ish years ago, right when I was, you know, kind of high school, getting into college. And so through kind of my later high school years and then through college, I played Tony Hawk as just one of those games that was kind of a staple of that time. And so picking up the remaster, which is brilliantly done, feels so good, feels like the original, and yet looks really, really good. Like the levels are reminiscent, but they look fantastic. It plays great, just like I remember it. Like I was immediately decent at it, which is nice in a game that like I remember from my youth. I've never been the greatest Tony Hawk person, but I can, you know, string together some pretty good combos in Tony Hawk. And so it's just been my kind of, I'm working a ton right now, life is hectic, and so it gives me, you know, a 2-minute run that I can just space out for 2 minutes. And this is my absolute favorite part about it. Genevieve's been sitting on my lap while playing it, and we take turns. And so she'll do a 2-minute run where, like, she only knows the jump button at this point, and so she just ollies, you know, and gets hit by cars. It's really entertaining. And then she'll hand the controller to me, and then I'll play for 2 minutes, and then I'll hand it back to her, and she'll play for 2 minutes while I'm working on something. And so it's like the first time that she's, like, really legitimately played a game. You know, like, she's kind of picked up a controller here or there, and I've you know, like on Animal Crossing, I say hit this button to pick an apple, and she does that. But this is her full on holding a controller, figuring out movement with it. You know, like she knows the jump button, she knows how to turn and kind of steer with it. And so it's the first like little moments of me seeing like her little gamingness come together. It just makes me so happy.
Two things on that. First, gotta get some video of that. I gotta see that for happen.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Like that's we gotta get that on the website. And secondly, we gotta get some Tony Hawk on the YouTube, because I haven't seen that, and I feel about the Tony Hawk the same way that you do. I feel kind of shameless in the fact that Tony Hawk does not need any more of my money, but and he doesn't need yours either. Nope. But you know, it's that good. So.
But I didn't hesitate buying it. Like it was a no-brainer for me. I love Tony Hawk so much, and I haven't regretted it for a second. So, obviously, for a younger generation, it may not be as interesting. People who are into skate, like. I missed that. I was before that. But for us at our age, like having Final Fantasy VII Remake come out this year obviously was huge nostalgia trip. This is also a very different thing, but still that huge nostalgia trip. Mario 3D All-Stars just released, which includes, you know, Mario 64 and Mario Sunshine. And so it's just the year of nostalgia.
Can I ask you something? Because we didn't talk about this on the last show, and I'm curious about this, and I swear we're not going to go too far off the rails here, but is Mario 2 included in the 35th anniversary? Like, the weird Mario?
So it's not included in the 3D All-Stars, because that's just the 3D games, obviously. It is included on the Mario Game & Watch, right? Like, I'm pretty sure that the lost levels, the legit Mario 2, not the U.S. release of Mario 2.
Right, I'm talking about the U.S. release.
Oh, the U.S. release I don't think is a part of any of these.
Because I think it's in there somewhere.
Yeah. I know of. I mean, surely somewhere, but I haven't seen that one. I've seen the Lost Levels, which is the Japanese Mario 2, but I haven't seen our Mario 2 in there anywhere.
The reason I ask is because I'm like one of the 8 people that really enjoyed that game when I was a kid. because it was just so weird.
It is so weird.
And you didn't really understand when we were kids that the reason it was weird is because everybody that made it was on a massive acid trip the whole time.
Yeah.
And I think as adults, I think that would make it even more fun.
Fair enough. It also just that it wasn't a Mario game, but had like these Mario characters on it. It just felt so, yeah, it was the trippiest thing. I played a lot of it, and yet I never got very far in it. You know, like it was one of those games that like you would pick up, or this is my experience, I would pick up, you know, on a relatively regular basis, but I can't remember progressing past, you know, the first couple of stages on it.
I can't remember any of it. I remember,
you know, playing all the way through the first one, and of course Mario 3, just playing the tar out of that. Super Mario World, played the tar out of that. But like Super Mario 2, like, yeah, I remember playing it. Like, I could very vividly see it in my head.
Yeah, me too.
But just never got very far in it.
I had one cousin that was his Mario game. Like, that was his jam. And he was significantly older than me. And so I'd go over there, and that would be what he was always playing. And I think if we ever get to the point where we are in the same room and we're not begging Patreon people for money because we're close on a regular basis, that game right there, that Super Mario weirdness, that's a Jamie and Tommy adventure.
That would be fun. Just to spend like one day on. Just play through it one day and be done with it forever, but to have that experience.
With bourbon. Yeah.
Yes, of course. Obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that would be a blast. So we've got a whole list of stuff that is just us and that nobody else will ever watch. But I think we can make it vastly entertaining.
I think
it'd be a lot of fun. So I love that you're playing Tony Hawk. I love that you've got Mario All-Stars. And I love that we have all of these new games to talk about. And I went back to the Outer Worlds this week. And I don't know what to say about it. Like, I told you what went on with it last week.
Yeah.
And so I finally got it booted up. I got everything started. And it's more of the Outer Worlds, which is fantastic. There's nothing new. There's nothing like, wow, it's just more of the Outer Worlds. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
But they did a couple of things that is like, wait, why'd you do that? One thing that they did is that they only added 3 levels, right? So my character at this point, the original level cap was 30. The new level cap is 33. And so per level, you get 10 points to spend. I know you played enough of the Outer Worlds to know that.
Yeah.
So you get 30 new points to spend as you level up. But they made the new skill cap, instead of being 100, all of the max skills are 150.
Interesting.
Now, you tell me how that math works out. Okay, so I did some research trying to figure this out. Because all of the top end for the skills is now 150, but you only have 30 extra points available. Turns out that they made 2 mistakes. One, this is not like a Fallout style thing where you get to the end of the game and it just keeps going. Like, that's what I was hoping for. They did not do that. In the Outer Worlds, you have to revert back to like a point of no return save right before the end. And so that's kind of lame.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're going through it and you're enjoying that. And then you have to beat the game again with all the new, with the skill stuff and, you know, the weapons and stuff that you picked up. So don't really understand that. And then they did the thing with the skill cap as 150, which doesn't make a lot of sense because one of the first things that you run up on in one of the areas where you start, like the place where you go to get the actual quest to start the DLC, there's a safe that has stuff in it that is at 150. Like nice. At the very beginning. And so it's like, here's the safe, but you can't open it.
Right.
Unless you, and I figured out what they want you to do, and I never did this, and I'll be curious to know if you ever get around to it, or if anybody else is playing. What Obsidian wants you to do is to totally respec your character and specialize.
Right.
And I initially said, I'm not, dude, that's stupid. Like, I just finished the game. I'm not doing that. But then I got that little voice in my head that was like, you host a gaming podcast. You have to figure out what they're trying to do here. So I respec'd for the first time. And it didn't cost me anything. It was like 500 bits or something. Not a big deal. And this is another area that I'm frustrated because I did not realize when you respec, not only does it reset your skill points, but it resets the perks. It resets everything except your flaws. Right?
Nice.
So, like, the flaws stick, but the perks don't. So, I took probably an hour respecing, because like you've got an extremely limited number of points. Like I said, they're only giving you 30 extra points, and I haven't even picked up a level yet, so I don't even have the 30 extra points.
Right.
So I'm like, how am I gonna spend these points that I have to get through this? And I could see it was going to be a problem because, like I said, in the first 5 minutes, you come up on a safe. I will tell you that if you're looking to play the Outer Worlds, every spare point that you have has to go into lock picking because everything is locked.
Yeah.
Everything is locked. And they're all high-end locked. Like, I don't even have enough points to get up to 150 on lockpicking. At this point, if I need to get through a door, I have to use the inhaler with some specific ingredient to bump my stats up high enough for 30 seconds to get through a door. It's insane. And I know that's what they wanted to do from the get-go. But And guys, I love you. Obsidian, if you're listening, I love you guys. But doing that for a DLC was dumb. It's really good. It's well written. It's the Outer Worlds. I like it. But man, they made some mistakes.
Yeah.
And the worst part is that you know, when you get through this 10-hour experience, like, I'm not going to beat the game again because there's another 10-hour experience coming.
Right.
And I'm going to have to do this all over again. And it's really frustrating.
Yeah.
Really frustrating.
That's a weird decision on their part. And I mean, it's just so easy to compare everything to Fallout. Because of Obsidian, but yeah, it seems strange.
So. I mean, like, they know how to do this because right. They did it with New Vegas. They know how to do this. They just chose not to.
Yeah, they were trying not to be Fallout.
Right.
But maybe they'll get a chance to be Fallout again, which is super exciting. We'll talk about that in a moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm still playing through it because I had one of those gamer moments today. I put in like 4 hours today. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get through it before the show.
Nice.
But you know what? Here's where I need to turn in my gamer card. You ready? I'm going to admit this live on the air. I spent 2 hours because the whole deal with that the asteroid that you land on is the whole thing is locked down and there's like force fields everywhere. I spent 2 hours trying to find a door to get around these stupid force fields. And it's not like one of those doors where it's like really super complicated or you really have to work to figure it out. I just missed the turn for 2 hours.
Nice.
You ever had that experience where you're playing something and you're like, I know there's a door here.
Yep.
And you just walk around and you walk past it.
100%.
A long time. Yep. And I did that today. And so I feel awful because I should have been more than halfway through it. But I walked past the door like 80 times.
Yeah.
And so I suck. Yeah.
I do a lot more of that in my old age, right? Like, I've just gotten worse about that, of just totally missing super obvious stuff that once upon a time I would have been like, oh, obviously. And now I'm like, like, and going online to like find it and then going, oh, wow, I'm the biggest idiot ever. Like, super obvious. It was right there the whole time.
Right. And it's like, I love you guys, but at one point when I'm playing through this thing today, I'm literally saying to myself, I don't have time for this.
Yeah.
and there's not enough people playing it that you can just look it up.
Yeah.
Like, I had to really look to even find somebody that had a walkthrough. And I ended up finding the door myself. Like, it wasn't nice. it wasn't even a good enough walkthrough that I could just look it up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there was a point today that I was like, I don't have time for this. All that being said, it's good. If you like the Outer Worlds, it's more the Outer Worlds. You're going to enjoy this. My problem is, and we're going to talk about Game Pass in a minute, my problem is that because of some news that we got this week, I'm looking at Resident Evil 7 going, I really got to play that. and it's sitting there waiting for me to download it. And so that's next on my queue after The Outer Worlds. And right before Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's fair. So, all that said, let's get into all of our news. And obviously, tons of stuff will come back up. We'll start with the PlayStation news. Everybody knows this already, so we'll be brief here. But we have an official launch date. That is November 12th. Xbox Series X/S is November 10th. And so, basically, they come out at the same time. And basically, they're the same price, at least the top-tier model. So, the PlayStation 5 is $499. The digital edition is, kind of as predicted, $399. And so we have Series X, PlayStation 5, $499, PlayStation 5 Digital Edition, $399, Xbox Series S, $299. So we've got this nice kind of obvious tier of what next-gen consoles cost. Just really quick here, any thoughts on the price other than what we've already talked about? Because this is the price we assume for at least the recent memory of us talking about it.
Okay, so real quick, and I sent you a text. I think that most people listen to this show thinking that you and I are going to be all over the S. That's what we talked about the last show, and like, that's a no-brainer because of Game Pass, and especially with more of the news this week, that's a no-brainer. But I'm looking at it, and I'm like, the only legit next-gen Xbox is the X, right? Like, the S is like a faux next gen X. Like, it is, but it's not. It's like the crab in the supermarket that's not really crab.
That's imitation, you know, crab.
That's, yeah. So it's great. It's fantastic. I eat the crap out of it, but it's not actually crab.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's how I feel about the Xbox Series S, and I didn't think I would feel that way, but I'm looking at the PlayStation And I watched IGN's stream of the PlayStation event, and that's one of the best streams that I've seen in a while, because those guys just geeked out.
Yeah.
Right? They just geeked out. And one thing that they said that I didn't really think of was, I really like this because I can buy the digital edition and still get the whole machine. And that's when it clicked in my brain. You know, if you buy an S, you're not really getting the full-fledged Xbox. And the other thing that came out in my brain is, bro, you have an accessibility controller that you've been jonesing to use, and here's this Xbox. And I don't want to pay $4.99 for it. Somebody give us one, because I don't want to pay $4.99 for it. I really don't, even on a payment plan, I don't. But I feel like, as a gaming show, as two credible people that have been doing this for 18,000 years, we have to have at least one X.
So here's my hang up. I'm still on the Series S bandwagon.
I know.
Because, and I totally get what you're saying. And everything you're saying is, next gen requires 4K, right? Because that's the only practical difference, really. I mean, the GPU's a little bit stronger in the significantly, I won't say just a little bit stronger, significantly stronger in the Series X. Processor's a little bit stronger in the Series X. You get more solid state drive space, whatever. Those are the big differences, right? But those differences are almost completely about 4K. Just the difference of being able to output true 4K resolution as opposed to 1440 and then upscaling to 4K, which the Series S does. And I just can't justify $200 for that when I don't have a 4K monitor anywhere in my house, and I'm not in any hurry to get one. You know, like, again, it just, I'm going to spend a lot of money on other things before I want to do that. If that's the only difference at this point, like, give me a Series S for 2 years and then let me upgrade, which I hope they do. They do that right now with, if you've got the Xbox All Access thing with an Xbox One, you can then upgrade to a next gen or to from the One S to the One X or whatever. You know, like, they've got a kind of upgrade thing that they already have going. And so I would guess that they would continue to do that. And so in 2 years, if it's like, okay, well, now I want a Series X, you know, let me trade this thing in. Let me, you know, pay whatever the trade-in cost is or whatever. I have the hardest time justifying an X at launch without a 4K monitor. The thing, it does different, you know?
Let me be absolutely clear. I don't want to pay that price. I have no interest in paying that price. But I have an accessibility controller. We have a gaming show.
Right. What I'm saying is, you're not going to get any different experience with an Xbox One X or a Series X right now, right? Like, it's not going to do anything different at this point. Again, see, in a couple of years, it might.
See, what I want to know, and this is where Sam and some of the other people on the Facebook page need to chime in and tell us. You guys need to tell us. Because we did this 13 years ago. We looked at the 360 and said, we don't need that. We don't, I mean, we saw all the stuff at E3. We We were on our 56K modems reading everything on the internet that we could find, and we said we don't need that. And then we saw it. And I just, I know it's not going to happen because we're old and we're cynical, and Microsoft has screwed themselves like eight times by this point. And so it's not going to happen. But I really hope somebody on the Facebook page or on the Twitter or somewhere gets an X and says, you guys have to have this. Because that's what we as people that love games, and we do love games for as old and out of time as we are, we love games. I want somebody to tell me, you have to have an X and here's why.
Yeah, but I mean, like, what would be the reason why? Like, I just and I'm asking that open ended. I'm not expecting you to answer that. I didn't mean that to come. Like, tell me now what. But like, that's the confusion, not the confusion. The question I have for Microsoft on this approach, it may be why it's brilliant in Microsoft. Like, now that I'm talking through it, of having this $300 console that has the solid state drive, that has the quick start of games, which is one of those next gen features I really want, has ray tracing, which is one of those next gen features I really like. It's like, I just can't see why, if you don't have a 4K monitor, you need a Series X, right? Like, that's the only difference. And to pay a $200 premium for something that I don't have the ability to do at this point. If you've got a 4K monitor, I think it's a no-brainer at that point, right? Like, maybe, maybe not. What is the, like, I need to get in a room where I can see the difference of, like, upscaled 1440 and 4K. But it's not going to change my mind to get a Series X at this point, because then I'd also have to put down $500 on a monitor, you know, and I'm definitely not paying $1,000 to get a Series X to do everything I want it to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, it can't be that good. It can't be good enough to convince me that I both need to pay $200 for the console and $400 or $500 more for a new monitor. It just can't be.
So let me play devil's advocate here, because I have one more angle for you that we need to talk out.
Absolutely.
We talked about the subscription plan last week, right?
Yes.
And I said last week, it makes me cringe because I'm 41 years old and I don't have a lot of money, but I have enough money to buy an Xbox and not have to worry about a subscription. However, this is where Microsoft may be really, really, really brilliant. If I'm going to pay $25 for an S, and I get Game Pass and I get all that, why don't I just pay $35 and get an X and be done with it? It's $10.
Yeah, like, $10 a month. So, $500.
I know, but you see where my mind, you see what I'm saying? Like, that may be where they're brilliant.
Sure. Yeah, it's definitely more palatable when you break it down as a $10 a month difference than a $200 difference, which ultimately ends up being a $240 difference, right, between the two. You get a little bit better deal with the Series S price plan than you do with the Series X price plan. And so, for what that's worth, neither here nor there. But yeah, it's a totally fair point. It is smart on their part. And a lot of people, they're going to, I imagine, I'll be really curious for both the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox to see how the sales numbers break down based on model, which one of each sells more, and honestly, which one of each is available, because the stories is that for Sony, at least, they just have way fewer of the digital editions available. Like, pre-orders on those go much, much quicker than the other ones. That because they just aren't offering as many of them. I'm curious if Xbox is doing the same thing. If they're, I don't want to say bait and switch because it's a little unfair, but I'm going to say bait and switch. If this is a little bit bait and switchy of them, of saying, we've got this $300 console, and then the $300 console is going to be in really short supply, but the $500 console is going to be a lot more available. And they go, well, while you're here, just go ahead and get the other one. You know, you don't really need it, but yeah, you want to play these games or you want these features or whatever. And so just go ahead and buy the $500 one. You know, like I could kind of see that. I almost did that with the PlayStation. I don't need a disc. I don't need to pay $100 more for a disc on a PlayStation. But I've been trying to get in on pre-orders for both of these, just in part to kind of be a part of the pre-order chaos, because it's been chaos, which we'll talk about in a moment. But I did at one point have a PlayStation 5 pre-order in a cart, like, hey, ready to go. But it wasn't the digital edition, and I just couldn't pull the trigger on it. I can't spend $100 on something that I don't need. You know, like,
Can I say this? If this is what we have to do to get one, and you want to buy one with a disc, I'll take the one with the disc and give you $100 just so that we have one, because I still watch Blu-rays. Okay? Sure. Like,
that's perfectly fair.
That's the thing that I've been trying to figure. Like, there is absolutely no reason to buy a full-fledged PlayStation 5, right? Like you get the whole enchilada, as far as I know.
And that's a big difference between that and the Xbox, obviously, is that the digital edition PlayStation isn't any less powerful. It just doesn't have a disc drive. But it's got the same solid drive, same CPU, GPU, everything's identical.
Right. And so, like, I'm thinking about, like, I still watch... And I've actually been to shopping around trying to figure out what it would cost me to buy both of these consoles digital and then buy a Blu-ray player, because, yeah, I still watch Blu-rays.
Sure.
And like, I don't know that it's that much cheaper.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I could do the Tommy thing and hold on to my PlayStation 4 for just that.
Sure.
But I mean, that's what you would do.
100%.
But I'm crippled. Like, I don't need more stuff stacked up.
No, that's fair.
You've seen my room. It's awful. All I'm saying is, if you get one, I'll take it.
Nope. That's 100% fair.
Right.
Yeah,
and we'll figure out the money, because, like, I would really like to, if we're moving to the PlayStation 5, I would really like to not have my PlayStation 4 still sitting here.
Absolutely.
Because it's not like the PlayStation 3 was. Like, the PlayStation 3 was the best media box that's ever been invented. If the PlayStation 4 was that, I would be all over it, but it's not. So I don't really need that once the PlayStation 5 gets here.
Yep, that's fair. So, while we're on this, just really quickly, because we're already talking this topic a little bit, let me mention just the cluster that's been the pre-orders for both of these consoles. So the Sony pre-orders went live right after their event, and very uncoordinatedly, and just was a mess, and people are trying to get pre-orders and sites crashing, and very few people did. Sony had a promotion where, like, you could sign up to give them your email address, and they were supposed to email you when they had pre-orders ready. A handful of people got those emails, including Logan, who listens to the show, which is awesome. But apparently most people, myself included, that signed up for that did not get that email to get in line for the pre-orders. And so a lot of people were unhappy around Sony and was looking forward to Xbox doing a much better job with their pre-order today, and it did not go any better. It was just the same mess of every site, including the Microsoft store, crashing, not letting you check out. I theoretically have a Series S in a cart right now that I haven't clicked checkout on, because I'm almost certain it's not going to work because there's just such a mess and error prone to get there. But it's not on the payment plan, and so I'm just kind of holding it there to see what happens, and then just following along to see if the payment plan stuff ever pops up again. All that to say, a lot of people tried to order both of these, which is a pretty positive sign that console generations still matter. And a lot of people are really pissed off that they weren't able to order either of these, which probably isn't exactly how you want it to go if you were either Microsoft or Sony.
Can I ask you a weird Jamie Jordan question?
Yep.
Does either one of these consoles have an IR remote, or are they both Bluetooth? Because the reason I bring this up, the PlayStation 4 has been fully Bluetooth forever, right? There's no IR on the thing at all, which is fine until the Bluetooth gets flaky and you're trying to do something that you want to do and the Bluetooth is weird. So what I'm wondering is, does the Xbox use IR, or is it Bluetooth? Like, how did they do that? And I haven't looked that up.
Yeah, I can't even remember seeing an image of, like, the Xbox remote. I've definitely seen the PlayStation one. They have it up all the time. I have no clue. It's a good question. I'll try to look it up. And
I'm wondering if they're both Bluetooth, because the remember back in the day we made a huge deal of it. Back at E3, when they were doing all the TV stuff, your Xbox is gonna run your TV, and you can do it all by voice. Now I want some of that functionality for some reasons. Okay, let me just tell you, the chair that you have sat in forever got moved out of my room after you left the last time. It's in my shop. It's no longer in my room. And the problem that this creates for a cripple is that I have no place to put my PlayStation controller, right?
Yep.
And it would be really nice to be able to turn my PlayStation on with Alexa or like to do something that didn't require that one controller. Like, I have 8 zillion universal remotes, and it'd be really nice to just click a button and bang, it's on.
Sure.
You know? And so I'm wondering if the S has that functionality, or the Xbox in general. And that's totally a crippled thing that nobody else will ever have to deal with. But for like 3 weeks after you left my house, my PlayStation controller was sitting on top of my PlayStation. And the weirdest thing that happens when you're me is that's a long way to go down there to get it.
Yeah.
And I can't bend that far. And so I'm like, I'd really like to watch a movie, but the controller's all the way down there.
Yep.
And so it's totally a Jamie Jordan thing. I'd be curious to know if the Xbox functions on IR at all.
Yeah, I can't even find their remote, so I have no clue. I don't even know if they've announced that or whatever. So, yeah.
We'll okay. See.
But sticking on Xbox, because the other big news that happened just yesterday was Xbox Microsoft's giant acquisition of ZeniMax, which includes notably Bethesda, as well as kind of all that umbrella of stuff, Arkane and id, and just a crazy amount of software that's now part of the Microsoft family. And so that means
can we stop for a second and say $75 billion.
$7.5 billion.
I thought it was 75.
I think it's 7.5. Okay, either way, is a lot of money. not a small price tag, but brilliant on Microsoft. I don't think anybody's like saying, oh, they overspent of whatever they spent for this. Like, again, so the software that they are getting with this is obviously the Elder Scrolls, Doom, Fallout, Wolfenstein, Dishonored. Like, just when you start like digging into some of these things, you're like, oh my goodness, it's just nuts of what they're going to have as part of, again, the Microsoft published library here. Speaking of, I mentioned this a little while ago, Obsidian, of course, got picked up by Microsoft a few years back. Obsidian, who made New Vegas, now Obsidian and Bethesda, both under the umbrella of Microsoft. There's a lot of possibility, and even Obsidian's been kind of teasing this on Twitter, of that relationship coming back, which obviously would be a huge, huge deal. And so,
New Vegas 2, baby!
So this means a couple, people would go nuts for that. If you want to own the day, Microsoft, make that happen. But a couple of things that are really fascinating from this. And so one is that now all of these titles, past, present, and future, you would imagine, are going to also be part of the Game Pass world. And that freaking
maybe
rocks.
Maybe. That's what I'm worried about. It rocks if that's what they choose to do.
Yeah, but so far, basically anything first party is on Game Pass, right? And now all this stuff is first party, even if they multi-release it, which is the other thing we'll get into here in just a second. But like The Outer Worlds was one of those titles, right? Like it came on Game Pass day one. Now, the expansion, for whatever reason, didn't. And so it's not perfect. And so there are question marks. You're not out of line to bring that up. But it seems like what they've kind of hinted at without saying explicitly is that this is going to be part of the Game Pass family. Part of this the release that they put on their website is Bethesda was an early supporter of Xbox Game Pass, bringing their games to new audiences, blah, 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 blah. And so it seems like that's going to be a feature of not just some of the games, but most, if not all, of the games. Certainly some of the games, but hopefully, I would love to see that same day one release thing like we've seen for other first party titles. So that's obviously a big deal.
I would love it, except that. Okay. I've found a problem with the Game Pass. And we talked about Game Pass problems last week. But now, and they did this on purpose. I know that this is why they do. I understand why they do it. Because I played The Outer Worlds on Game Pass. I've now bought the expansion pass on Game Pass. Like, I don't know how much software I want to do this with, because if you put me in a room with a revolver and tell me that I'm going to play Russian Roulette and ask me which system I would rather use, I'm going to tell you Steam every time. And when I bought that, when I bought that expansion pass, I was like, I really hate this. Because now, if I want to play The Outer Worlds on a system that I know works flawlessly, I gotta buy it again. Because I've already put my money down on Game Pass.
Sure.
And I know that's why they're doing it. I understand. They're trying to get people to move. It's just a little sketchy.
Yeah, and they take games off of Game Pass, too. Like, let's also remember that. It doesn't mean that these games will be on Game Pass forever, either. Though, again, their first-party stuff sticks. I'm sure that you can probably point out a game that I'm missing that this isn't true towards. But it feels like every first-party thing has been on Game Pass from day one and has stayed on Game Pass. Now, there's differences between PC and console version, whatever, whatever, whatever. But outside of that, it seems like they are pretty gung-ho about supporting Game Pass with their first-party stuff. first party stuff. Third party is a little bit of a different question. So now it just brings all these under that umbrella of first party. But it also brings up a lot of questions about exclusivity, because obviously now Microsoft could make these games going forward something like Starfield or something like The Elder Scrolls VI. They could make those Xbox exclusive titles, meaning that you would get those on Xbox and PC almost certainly. It's hard for me to imagine a world where they make Elder Scrolls a console exclusive, right? But that you would have to be, you know, on Game Pass on your PC to get that. It's not going to be on Steam per se or something like that.
See, The Elder Scrolls is the one that makes me cringe.
Mm-hmm.
Because I, of all the games that you can hand to me and say, here it is, it's free, I'm not touching Skyrim on Game Pass. I'm not doing that. I'm like, you got mods and you got like some of those files you can't access. And so if they did something like The Elder Scrolls 6, like, I'd be looking at that like it was the coronavirus coming at me. Like, I'm not really sure what to do here.
Yes.
Because I don't want to buy that game on this system.
Yeah, I think there's... that's my biggest question, and it's specifically towards The Elder Scrolls and Fallout, because those are the ones I really care about mods on. But what does this mean for the future of the modding community in Bethesda, which has always been such a big supporter of the modding community, obviously. And so that's a legit question I have. But let me broaden that out a little bit to also say that there's already, Microsoft's already talking about this, because there's already an issue in place in that the both Deathloop and Ghostwire Tokyo were already committed to be PlayStation 5 timed exclusives. So before Microsoft bought up ZeniMax, those games under the Bethesda umbrella were already going to be timed exclusives for the PlayStation 5. And Phil Spencer has said that Microsoft is going to honor that, that those games will remain PlayStation 5 timed exclusives. They will come to Xbox platform, Game Pass at some point, but they will keep their timed exclusive. And so what you're going to see when you go buy Deathloop, which Sony featured in their thing, you know,
A week. They gave it like 10 minutes.
Than a week before Microsoft picks up Bethesda, which is just great, is you're going to pick up a Deathloop, and it's going to pop up with a Microsoft splash screen on your PlayStation 5, which is just going to be amazing. I just love every bit of that. It's just the gaming world we live in right now. But I really think that that's what Microsoft wants. Like, Microsoft, it's almost, and I thought of this kind of horrible analogy, but we gave Microsoft some crap about the kind of disc wars over HD DVDs and Blu-rays, and that eventually the, you know, Blu-ray won out, and that Microsoft, you know, had a Sony component in all their consoles with their Blu-ray drives or whatever, you know, that they were supporting this kind of Sony format or whatever. That it's almost that Microsoft is just trying to flip that script completely in the software realm now, and is saying, yeah, absolutely, Sony, you can have games. You can have games. Just make sure you know where they're coming from, right? You know, like, make sure you know these are Microsoft titles at this point. And we're doing you a favor here. We can keep any of these we want, but we're being nice to make sure that you have access to these games that we have control over, which I think is exactly what Microsoft wants. Like, everything that we've seen for the past few years from Microsoft says that they're not focused on exclusives, right? Like, they just haven't put effort into first-party games, even with buying up studios, which they've done a good job of, and they do have some more first-party titles than they may have a couple years ago. And they may change that a little bit here. Obviously, this acquisition is huge. This is just a kind of gaming world earth-shattering acquisition. But I also wouldn't be surprised to see Microsoft say, hey, we publish Skyrim now. We want it on every platform we can put it on. And we want you to play it on Game Pass on your PlayStation 5, because I think Microsoft would love to see Game Pass on your PlayStation 5 in a couple of years. You know, like, they want to be the platform, not the hardware. I don't think they care about exclusivity for their hardware. I think they want it for their platform, to make their platform something that even Sony wants to put on their console. You know what I'm saying? Like, it feels like that's what they're trying to accomplish here. It's not about being exclusive to their hardware, but it's about being, this is where you go for great quality titles. And when you look at this Bethesda pickup, somebody pointed out, like, they're suddenly the home of Western RPGs, you know? Like, Sony's going to be the home of Japanese RPGs. Xbox is going to be the home of Western RPGs. And that's pretty shocking.
What was crazy about this is I sat there and I listened to you go through that whole thing, and all I can hear in my head is Austin Powers. Like, it sounds like a plot for a freaking Austin Powers movie. Like, I just keep waiting on Mike Myers to pop up, because it's so kitschy. Like, it's one of those things that they're like, ha, we got you.
Yeah.
You know? And it's, I do it so, I can't, you know what it is? It's Portal 2. It's Cave Johnson. That's exactly what it is. It's like Microsoft is Cave Johnson.
Phil Spencer.
Yeah.
Kinda works. Like, I could see it.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
When did they buy up Valve at this point, right?
Yeah, well, that's probably not gonna happen. I think Valve might be able to buy them in a couple of years. So
good luck with that. Microsoft could back up a truckload of money, right? Like, obviously buying Valve is probably not feasible, but like, let's be honest. Like, that's who you need to get, you know? Like,
yeah.
Either Sony needs to go, like, figure out how to do that, or Microsoft needs to figure out, like, that's, if somebody did that, like, obviously that upends the whole world of gaming,
well,
even more.
My question is, if you're Gabe, because let's be honest, Gabe, it's like not. Gabe is the guy that matters here. Like, I love all the other guys at Valve, but it's Gabe Newell, right?
Uh-huh.
Right? So, uh-huh. Like, if you're Gabe, and they back up a truckload of money, what's that number?
Yeah. I don't know what the number is.
He's got money. Like,
but what did Notch do?
Yeah.
Microsoft backed up a truckload of money and Notch took it, right? Like, this is the exact thing that happened. Like,
yeah.
There's a number. Like, you can get him. I would be hard pressed to believe that you can't get him. I don't know what the number is.
I know, but see, that's why I made that specific example, because because we love Notch and Minecraft is huge, but Notch is not Gabe. Like, that's a whole other level.
Sure. I agree with that, but like, it happened, you know. Like, there's rumors now, because after this, obviously, like, Twitter just exploded with like, what's next? And so, like, a lot of people are like, Sony's going to try to buy Konami, and bring Konami under the Sony umbrella, which would make a ton of sense, and they'd get Metal Gear back and all that, which would be great. And then I saw something that's Microsoft is trying to buy Sega, and it's just like, what in the world? There's going to be, I think, this kind of continued consolidation in the gaming world, and I think Microsoft is in a really, really good position. And honestly, like, the difference of me looking this morning for Xbox Series S pre-orders and not was a whole lot this, right? Like, and we kind of live in a bubble, and I don't know how much this expands beyond the kind of people that are in the know in the gaming world. But for people in the know in the gaming world, like, this was a huge, huge deal. And for people like me that we talked about last week, and already I was kind of sold on the Series S or whatever. But this was just another confirmation that, okay, I really got to have, you know, this console, Series S, Series X, whatever it is, we've got to have it in our house. Like, a month ago, we weren't saying that, you know?
Right.
Like, it's crazy how quickly that's changed.
Right now, it's like, it's a no-brainer. Because, like, I have the accessibility controller, and there's all of these games, right? Like, even if... I was looking through the Game Pass library, and a couple of games that we have installed, one being Streets of Rage, I uninstalled it off of my PC because we had the Raspberry Pi, we have all of that crap. I'm like, I'm going to come back to that when I get my Xbox because it's going to be so much easier. Like, as insane as it is, you're right. We have to have this thing.
Yeah. And kudos for Microsoft for making that happen. Again, wasn't expected on my part, but they've somehow pulled that off. So really quickly, we're going to go a little bit long here because there's just, again, a ton.
We owe these people shows, yeah. So yeah.
So strap in. We'll just a few more minutes at this point. Sony did have this whole PlayStation 5 showcase. Obviously, the price point and the release date were the big announcements. We were looking forward to it. But they did show off a lot of other stuff. And so just briefly,
man, they did. That thing was huge.
Let's talk about a couple of those things, including a couple of really, really big announcements. The first was what they led off the show with, which was Final Fantasy 16. Showed off Final Fantasy. By the way, who's going to buy Square Enix? I don't know. It's going to be, you know, obviously, like, makes sense for Sony to pick up that one. Whatever. Final Fantasy 16 officially coming. No shock there. But it is a single-player title. It's not an online title. Apparently, though, in what I've read about it, because I've never played Final Fantasy 14, a lot of people say it feels very reminiscent of Final Fantasy 14, which is one of their online titles that, like, launched, and then, like, they essentially shut it down because it sucked, and then they relaunched it, and people really dug it. And so, whatever, it's apparently good now. But it's, like, high fantasy, like, medieval fantasy, like... It felt unlike Final Fantasy to me watching it.
It's the closest thing to it is 9.
Yes. Yeah.
Like 9's the closest thing to it.
Yeah. Maybe other than 14 that I don't know anything about. But yeah. Yes. Of the ones we played, I think you're right there. You know, like, I just don't know. I want more Final Fantasy VII Remake. This one isn't, you know, like, I'm not needing to kick down doors to get my hands on Final Fantasy 16. But it's significant, and it was pretty. So good for them.
Yeah.
On pretty. We got Spider-Man Miles Morales gameplay that looks freaking amazing. I'm so glad they showed that gameplay off because it looked next gen. Like it was a legit step above what Spider-Man on the PlayStation 4 looks like, and Spider-Man on the PlayStation 4 looks fantastic. But it was stunning.
And I want you to go through this list, and I'm not going to interrupt you, but I have one major point when you get to the end of this list that was totally amazing to me when I thought about it. So keep going. Spider-Man was great.
Resident Evil Village, we got more of that. We obviously saw that before with PlayStation 5 stuff. We got Call of Duty stuff, whatever. Again, it looks really good. And we're probably not going to rush out to pick up Call of Duty, but it was very pretty. Demon's Souls is confirmed as a PlayStation 5 exclusive.
I mean, that one made me wow.
Yeah, I just... I've never played a Souls-like game before. Like, it just hasn't ever been my aesthetic, hasn't been my itch. I'm going to play Demon's Souls. Like, I'm just seeing that. Okay, this is the one that's going to get me into this world, and if I love it, then there's a whole back catalog, including Bloodborne, right, which is going to be a part of another big announcement that they had, which was their PlayStation Plus collection for PlayStation 5, that if you have PlayStation Plus, you're going to get access to basically all the really good games from the PlayStation 4, and so that includes God of War and Uncharted and Bloodborne and tons of other stuff, and so... Obviously, a compelling thing. PlayStation Plus and Game Pass are not the same thing, right?
No.
But this is PlayStation trying to be a little bit of that and maybe leaning in a little bit more to what Game Pass is of providing you access for some of those games. So that was a big announcement. Devil May Cry is getting a special edition. Five Nights at Freddy's, if you care about Five Nights at Freddy's. Oddworld, they showed off a little more of, which is weird. We already talked about Deathloop in there. But a couple of other announcements that they had. The mystery Harry Potter game showed up here, which I wasn't expecting. Right? So it's called Hogwarts Legacy. It takes place in the late 1800s, I believe.
Yes.
Is Harry Potter world, Hogwarts world, but not Harry Potter, which I really, really like. I kind of want a Hogwarts game or, you know, that world game without being a Harry Potter game. I think the Lord of the Rings titles, the Shadow of War, Shadow of Mordor, did a really good job with this of being Lord of the Rings titles without trying to retell the story that everybody already knows and loves without screwing it up. Like, don't try to retell Harry Potter's story in a game because you're probably just going to screw it up. But put us in that world and let us live in that world, and that could be really compelling. And,
it looks so good.
It looks really, really good. And then the last big announcement that we didn't see anything of and isn't a surprise, but it was fun to actually have it announced, was God of War 2 Ragnarok. And so we know that that's officially coming, and rumor is sometime next year. Or I think they said coming sometime next year, which is pretty spectacular if that's true, because that's really soon. And so it was a big, big newsy event that everybody got caught up on the price for, but lots of other stuff came out of it.
So the thing that blew my mind as I watched this thing was that, and you just kind of like skirted the edge of it at the end there, like 85% of what they showed is coming out like next week. Like we're at that point where they would show a game and I'm like, that's really good, and it would say holidays and I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Like when they showed the new Spider-Man Miles Morales and they put a date on it, I was like, dude, that's like a month from now.
Yeah.
That's what the thing that got me about that whole experience was 80% of what they showed. They said, you're going to play this on the PlayStation 5 and you're going to play it really soon.
Yeah.
This is why you have to have a PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
Because you're not waiting a year and a half for Miles Morales.
Yep.
And you're not waiting a year and a half for Demon's Souls. And you're not, I don't remember the exact dates, but it was just over and over again. Like, yeah, you're going to have most of these right around the holidays.
Yeah. It to me is still the reason that everything we talked about with Microsoft being true and us being excited about the Series XS, about Bethesda, everything else in that world, if I got to pick one to have in 2 months, it's still a PlayStation 5. Because they're going to have games. And, and Microsoft just still doesn't have those games that I can't get anywhere else, right? Like all those games that we're talking about with Microsoft, at least for right now, I still have available to me in other places on my PC or on a PlayStation. Sony, that's not the case. Can't get Demon's Souls, can't get Miles Morales anywhere else, and I am dying to play both of those.
And I made the comment on the Facebook page, like, I wasn't as woohoo when I saw it, because I'm like, every game that they just bought and they're going to put on Game Pass, I already have.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I feel like a schmuck for all the money that I've spent. But every one of those titles, I own a copy of.
Yeah.
And they're in my massive library that I'll never get around to playing. And that is, you know, I made the wisecrack about Resident Evil earlier. That's why that's next on my list, because I don't own that. And Resident Evil 8, whatever that ends up being, isn't probably going to be everywhere else. But the fact that they're doing two of these in the same mode, being the first person kind of thing, kind of gives me the tingles that, hey, maybe Resident Evil is coming back.
Yeah.
Like, remember Resident Evil when we were growing up? Resident Evil was a very directed thing. Like, if you bought a Resident Evil game, you knew what you were getting. And it was that way until Resident Evil 4. And then 5 and 6 were like 180 degrees the other way. And now it feels like they're like, okay, 7 was really good. We got something here. Let's do another one and maybe one more after that. And for some reason, that really excites me. Does it excite you at all? Because we've been looking at Resident Evil 7 for 2 years going, we can't play that.
Yeah.
Now, for some reason, now that I know there's a second game kind of in that vein, I immediately thought, like, before the thing was, before the stream was even over, okay, now I have to play 7.
Yeah, that's totally fair. Can I say, though, Resident Evil Village looks so different to me, right? Like, it's just, like, it's fast, but, like, werewolves. Like, I just, like,
yeah.
It's nuts, and I'm super intrigued by it, and I'm really curious, is it going to be like people love it, or is it going to be like Resident Evil 6 that I think of, maybe people really enjoyed that. I don't know. I've been out of the Resident Evil world for so long, but it felt like Resident Evil 6 was so different and so weird, and it just didn't catch on, and that's why we saw the 2 and 3 remakes, you know, that were such a big deal and whatever. But can we also just say, my goodness, they're just pumping out games between the remakes and 7 and now 8 coming. Like, it's just a lot of stuff that they've put out in the past 2.5 years, whatever it's been. Like, not that long.
You talk about the Jamie and Tommy list of stuff that we need to do. We gotta do both the remakes in the same room.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be super cool. There's not even a question. We got to do both the remakes in the same room, and us playing Resident Evil 7 or 8 in the same room would be vastly entertaining. We don't want to do it because it would be horribly embarrassing.
We'd have every single light in the house turned on.
Yeah, but it would be. It'd be vastly entertaining.
It would be. I agree with that. So,
yeah.
All that said, Sony still has some darn compelling software.
So one thing, since you brought that up, I see one flaw with both of these machines, okay? And I don't know if anybody's talked about it. It's part of the reason I have that little voice in my head saying that we have to get at least one X. Is because I don't think either one of these machines, the PlayStation 5 or the Xbox, has enough hard drive space.
Yeah.
Like, even if you buy the terabyte version, that's not enough hard drive space.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's going to be a constant struggle for sure with both of these. The Xbox, I feel like, is a little bit better suited for that because it's just an expansion slot on the back. They're going to charge you out the nose for that space. But the PlayStation thing, with both the fact that it's the more advanced solid state drive and that it's, to my understanding, an internal expansion slot that you got to crack the thing open to get to it. Yeah, that, and it's not a terabyte, right? On the PlayStation 5, it's whatever, 700, 800 gigs right around in there, but it's not even quite a terabyte. That's going to be a thing. That's going to be a thing over and over and over.
And you've talked about it a zillion times. You give me a hard time when I whine about hard drive space because it's like, dude, you gotta learn to shuffle. But I feel like this is different. I feel like these two machines, it's different.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I just because games are going to get progressively bigger, we're seeing on current generation games that are 100 gigs. You know, like that's not unheard of right now. For crying out loud, on my PlayStation 5, I just bought Tony Hawk. I had to clear space to make room for Tony Hawk. And I'm looking at my games I have installed. I have like three games legit installed. You know, it's just Red Dead, The Last of Us, and Final Fantasy or whatever it is. And it's just like those three games take up the whole hard drive, basically, you know, like, and so it's always, what's that fourth game that's being shuffled around until I finish one of these or whatever? That's going to continue to be an issue. And especially with the fact that like one of the selling points on both of these consoles is this quick resume thing. The idea, have as many games as you want installed because you can just launch whatever one of them you want at any given time and pick up right where you were without, you know, having to go through loading and all that kind of stuff. That's not a great feature if you can only have two or three games installed before you hit the cap of your hard drive space or your solid drive space. You know, like it's going to be an issue. You're 100% correct on that.
Yeah, and I don't know how they get around it.
No, because they release new SKUs in a year and a half that are bigger. That's, you know, like honestly, that's what they're gonna do.
One thing we have to talk about before we wrap the show. And I hate to do it because we talk about it every week, it sounds like. But we have to talk about Cyberpunk.
Okay. Before you get to that, I've got one more thing that we also have to talk about. I've got Cyberpunk in there, too. GamingUncensored.com. Go by the show notes because we're also skipping a bunch of other stuff. Really quick, we also got to talk about Oculus because Oculus had a big announcement this week that got overshadowed by everything else. But Oculus announced the Quest 2. A couple of really important things about the Quest 2. First of all, it's just an upgraded Quest, and so that's great, and we love the Quest. We've talked about how much we really love
the Quest. Can we just give them our money now?
Yes, in part because it's also cheaper, which is nuts.
What?
And so they're releasing two SKUs. They've got a 64 gig SKU and then a 256, I believe, SKU. The lower memory version is $300, $299, which is $100 less than the original Quest, which is crazy. Or you can pay the extra $100 to get the added built-in space. But here's the other thing with it. And why I don't care about the space built into the thing, they're also retiring the Rift, that the Quest is going to be the Oculus platform for both standalone VR and tethered VR with your PC. And so this is it going forward, that this is their headset is going to be the Quest 2 starting at $300. You get the headset, you get the controllers, you go buy an Oculus Link cable or go buy a long USB 3 cable off of Amazon like we did. And you got a single cable that you're plugging into your computer. I'm sure they're going to have some wireless adapter in the not too distant future as well. That's crazy for $300 bucks to be in on like high level. Again, it's not going to be what the high end Vive is or what the Steam, what is the Valve headset called? I can't remember the name of it. Whatever it's called. Those are going to be still higher fidelity likely. But man, a $300 price point for the Quest for both a standalone and a tethered VR set is pretty nuts.
Okay, for those of you that have been listening to the show for a long time, I'm about to say something that I haven't said in about 10 years. But here's my thing. I gotta be honest, because I thought I had gotten to everything this week. I didn't know anything of what you just said.
Yeah, and one more for you. It comes out next month.
My brain. My brain. I'm seeing over here. My brain is freaking blown. Because I want to go back and change everything I just spent the last hour saying. Because we need to spend all our money.
Yep.
On that thing.
Yep.
we need two of those.
Yeah, that one's a no-brainer, right?
Yeah. We need two of those immediately.
Just nuts.
Absolutely just nuts. Just like, here's my credit card. I can wait on the PlayStation 5. I can wait. This thing I gotta have.
Yep.
And if you're not, if you haven't gotten into VR yet, and I know you've heard us drone on forever. If you have not gotten into VR yet, here's your shot.
Yeah.
And this is Jamie and Tommy telling you, as two people that suck as game podcast hosts, this is us giving you our $1 million stock pick. Go buy a Quest 2, like, tomorrow.
Yeah.
Screw the PlayStation 5 pre-order. Screw the Xbox pre-order. Go pre-order that. We swear you will not regret it. It's that good.
They announced a bunch of games along with that, obviously, as well. A couple of which from Ubisoft, a Splinter Cell VR game and an Assassin's Creed VR game. No real details on what either one of them are yet, and so they could suck. That's very, very possible. But still, it just points to the level of stuff that they're working to get on VR. They also announced, and this one is maybe the one I'm most excited about, they're re-releasing Myst on the thing. Myst.
Oh.
Right?
Yes, man. That's like, that's...
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. So there you go.
Like, okay. I don't know. Did we talk about this on the last show that you refied your house? Did we?
I don't know if we mentioned that. Yeah, I think so. We talked about being adults. Yeah.
Okay, so you refied your house, and you dumped all the money that you saved back into your house.
Right.
I the sexy sidekick's gonna hate this, but bro, I need a room. Because I need to come, like, live in your house.
Yep.
For like 6 months.
Yeah.
Like, we can't do this remotely anymore. you people don't understand. He knows me well enough to know that I'm geeking out right now. I'm geeking out. We're both geeking out. He has bourbon, so you can't hear it quite as much. We're geeking out because this is the reality that when we started this show, when we were kids growing up, this is the reality that we wanted to live in.
Yeah.
Like, as two guys that love games and just want to hang out and play games, this is the version of reality that we have wanted to live in our whole lives. Yeah. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Am I overstating that at all?
It's a really good place.
I understand we're adults and we need separate spaces and we need to not live 2 minutes from each other. I get it. But there's just so much stuff that we could, if we were right there, there's so much stuff that we would look at each day and look and say, look, this is what we get to do today.
Yeah.
Like, I do. I need a room. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I need a room in your house.
Yeah.
Because it's so...
Yep.
I don't even have words.
I'm so glad I broke you. That's fun. Really quick, because we got to wrap, because I got to go. But really quick on Cyberpunk. There was another Night City Wire that detailed a bunch of stuff, showed off some more of the world, talked about how the gangs work a little bit. But also maybe the big news that came out of it was the system specs for the PC version, which are really, really approachable for everything we were expected. Just the recommended specs are a Core i7-4790, 12 gigs of RAM, and 1060 or better, which is not nuts. I mean, it's a good rig, but not nuts. I think we're pretty much anticipating the thing was going to be nuts. And obviously, if you want to get the full like ray tracing and everything else out of it, you're not going to do that with a 1060. But for even the recommended specs to be a 1060 is pretty shocking.
Okay, so I know you got to go. I get it. It's late, but we're going to take 5 minutes to talk about this because I wanted to have the Facebook. I wanted to have the debate on the Facebook page, and nobody bit. And so I want to have this discussion with you because this was the thing that when I saw this, like I saw the specs on the Facebook page and I went, oh, that's cool. But then I went back and I watched the Night City Wire and it clicked in my brain that, yo, these are the recommended specs. And the recommended spec, 90% of it is four-year-old hardware. So at least four-year-old hardware.
Yeah.
4790 may be older than that. So now, and I posed the question on the Facebook page, I don't know if nobody saw it, I don't know if nobody read it, but now I'm looking at my rig going, I don't need a new rig. I'm just going to buy a 3080 and be done with it. I don't really care if there is some bottlenecking going on. It's not going to be enough that it's going to matter. I feel like these specs change everything.
Yeah, for us talking up this game as the reason to upgrade and then the specs come out and tell us, hey, you don't probably need to upgrade. I it's significant. To the point that I'm still planning to pick it up on console because I will have a next-gen console and want the ray tracing and everything else. I may pick it up on PC too in the future, especially if there's a decent mod community around it, which there could be. There's been mod communities around the Witcher games, not anything like Skyrim, obviously, but they do exist. If it pops up on Steam on sale, you know, like this is a game I might buy twice, you know, like it's one of those titles. And now I go, okay, well, I know I'll be able to run it too. And so it may not look as pretty on my PC as it is going to on a PS5. Dude, but I'll get more content out of it if it's a game that I love as much as I'm hoping I love it.
The scary thing about these specs is that you don't really have to upgrade that far to get everything out of it.
Yeah,
Sam's already said it. The video card that he has right now is going to run it flawlessly.
Oh yeah.
It's going to cost us a whole lot less money to play Cyberpunk and have it look as good as it could possibly look than it was going to cost us even a week ago.
Yeah. Which is great news.
It is great news. It's fantastic.
And we see it running. It's not like it's going to be a surprise that it doesn't look as good as we think it's going to look because they're showing it to us all the time. So all that said, we do got to wrap, but tons and tons and tons of stuff today. And so thanks for sticking with us.
Yeah, absolutely. And don't hear us wrong. We are none of the stuff that you hear from us is ever fake. Like, we don't ever put any of this stuff right on. I am like giddy, like a little kid right now. Like, where am I going to find money? What can I sell in my house
Yep.
so that I can get all of the things? I love Sam because Sam posted on the Facebook page that he had a pre-order for PlayStation 5, and he goes, I know that I said I, or no, it was an Xbox. He said, I know that I said I wasn't going to get one, but I have to have all the things.
Yep.
And that's how I feel. We have to have all of the things. And it just, I'm so happy.
Yeah. It's a good time to be a gamer. We say it constantly. And yes. It just keeps getting better.
It does. And I'm so happy. And I'd like to tell you people that it's going to give you more content from us. But every time I say that, we fail miserably.
That's fair.
So I'm not going to do that. But I hope that you get more content from us because of all this crap.
Absolutely.
We've got to wrap. We've got to go. You guys know where everything is. We got the Facebook page. We got Twitter. There's a huge community over the Facebook page. Lots of guys over there talking about lots of stuff. And they apparently don't pay attention when I ask a question. But that's okay. I'm okay with that. And we just love that community over there. And it's a lot of fun. We do still play segments on this show.
We do. We've got one from Cabbage that's apparently going to rock our world. So,
yes.
Yeah.
So if you would like to submit a segment, you can still do that. We've got a couple different ways to do that. It's the Gmail at gaminguncensored@gmail.com or the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
It will cut you off after 30 minutes, and if it does, just call us back, and we'll stitch them together, and it will get played before we die.
Yes.
That's pretty much all that we can promise you right now, but it will get played before we die. And other than that, I think we're good. Is there anything else? Go by the website, because there's a huge amount of show notes. Lots of stuff going on over there you need to check out. Lots of stories we did not get to. Other than that, is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
Reviews! Reviews, reviews, reviews. We need your reviews. Go by iTunes, review the show. Tell us we rock. Don't tell us if we suck. I'm Jamie, that's Tommy. We're Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gaminguncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.